Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
The Lord is good, church. Amen. And it's always a blessing to be in His house. And we welcome everyone once again and everyone that's connected with us this morning. Thank you for being with us. And I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. So give it all your attention this morning to the word. And as you're standing, if you will open your Bible, I'm going to start off. Today's message is I want to share with you about eternal life. Eternal life. You know, many times people do not really know what happens when a person dies. Where do they go? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to a cloud? There's just a lot of ideas. People come up with stuff. But let's see what the Bible says. And how many know that it's important that in order to have eternal life, you need the door. You need Jesus Christ. Because Christ is the entry to heaven. Amen. So I want to start off with a very familiar scripture. And it's in John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. John 3:16 through 18. And open your hearts. Amen. And we are praying and believing that the Lord will answer some questions. But most importantly is that you have Jesus in your life. And you live for Jesus. So John chapter 3. Verse 16 through 18. And amen when you have it. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Speaking of Jesus. But then it says, look what he says, that whoever believes in him should not perish. See, how many know that God doesn't want anybody to perish? But at the end of the day, people make choices. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's what the Lord wants us to have is he wants human beings, people, to have everlasting life. Then it says in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world, look what he says, to condemn the world. See, God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world. But not to condemn it. But that the world through him might be saved. So you got to ask yourself, am I saved? And verse 18, he who believes in him, what does it say? Is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Many times our focus is the world. The world system. And in the Bible, there is no doubt that in the Bible, you will find in the Bible that everyone who fear God or walk with God, they were very, very blessed. And many times they were very prosperous. And they recognized that everything came from the Lord. So to be blessed, it's not an issue or a problem before God for God's children to be blessed. It's when the blessing or the prosperity or the money takes over your relationship with God. And many times as time goes by, we focus on the wrong things. See, anytime when you read, you study the Word of God, you will find out what to do or what pleases God or what doesn't please God. There is no other way. Now you get to choose that you might want to skip, ignore, or act as if that's not for me. But how many know that the Word of God is the Word of God? Even the Bible says that His Word is nothing but pure Word. Pure Word. And what I'm getting to is that don't lose focus in what you are doing for the Lord, your investments for the Lord. Everything that you do for the Lord, everything you invest in the Lord, it will always come back to you, according to Jesus. Here on earth and also in heaven, you will have your reward. Now, there's a story about a preacher. And this preacher, he visited a very wealthy rancher. And he took him out to his ranch. And he said, "Preacher, as far as you can see," look what he tells him, "I own it." The man said, "Do you see over there? As far as your eyes can see, I own everything over there. Do you see in front of you? As far as you can see, I own everything there." Then he tells him, "Do you see everything behind you? As far as you can see behind you, I own everything there." Man, this man must have really have everything on. But then the preacher said something very wise, and he tells him, "That's wonderful," he tells him. "But my friend, how much do you own up there? How much do you own up there? How much have you invested in the work of the Lord? How rich are you in heaven?" The best investment is your relationship with the Lord and to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Eternal life. The moment you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, you come in through the door, the entry for eternal life. How many believe that? And for that reason, there are benefits. The one benefit is that you will enjoy heaven with Him, with who? With God, Jesus. You will enjoy heaven for all the eternity. In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Now, I want you to think about this, church, because many times I believe that we forget about the future. We believe that there is a heaven. And my next message is going to be on hell. But sometimes we forget that there is a heaven and there is a hell. But the closer you are with God, the more you reflect about the things of God.
But the further you are from God, you reflect more about the earthly things. And Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28, 29, he said, look at his words. He said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. When the Lord comes back, everyone who is alive or anyone who has died in the Lord, believe it or not, you're going to hear his voice. And the Bible says, and come forth. And then the Bible says, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. But see, we already read in John chapter 3 that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Now, if you reject Jesus as the source of life, you will be condemned. Now, everything you're going to hear, church, today, it's in the Bible. And if you don't believe it, take time, pay the price, and open your Bible and study it. So this is what the future holds. Is that anyone who dies in the Lord, you will have eternal life. Or if we are still alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for his church, what the Bible talks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talks about being caught up. Talking about the church, the body of Christ will be caught up. Or what we use, the term we use is the term rapture. Amen? Now, this is very important. That the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that your name, not your neighbors, not your dad, not your mom, not your auntie, your cousin. No, it says your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen? So nobody can do it for you. Nobody can save you. Just because you grew up in church doesn't mean you are saved. You know how many people go to church, but they have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You need to receive, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the moment you do that, when you confess with your mouth, the Bible says that your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, I get excited. I'd be rejoicing to know that there is no doubt that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelations chapter 21, verse 27, the New Living Translation says this: nothing evil will be allowed to enter. Notice what he says. Nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the book of Jesus, the Lamb's book of life, filled up with names of believers that at one time repented of their sins and confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Church cannot save you. Religion cannot save you. Nor any other God can save you. The only one that saves, his name is Jesus Christ. You like it or don't like it. It's written in the Bible, in the Word of God. Why? Because he's the one. Jesus is the one that purchased us with his precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. The one who took your place and my place on the cross. The one who became sin for you and for me. He paid it all. That's why on the cross, when everything was done, he said, "It is finished." Look what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. The New Living Translation says this. Hear what the Word of God says. He says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Did you know that? That believers in Christ, you and I have power over the enemy. Did you know that? Now let me ask you, do you practice it? Don't ever run away from a demon. The demon has to run away from you. And it says, "And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." But look at this last part. Look what he says. "But don't rejoice because of evil spirits obey you." He says, hey, don't rejoice over that. Because God uses you and because you can cast out a demon or whatever, you know, you can rebuke it. You have power, you have authority. He says, don't rejoice over that. Even though all that is good. And many times it is necessary to apply as believers, especially a believer full of the Holy Spirit. But he says this, look what Jesus says, rejoice. He says, rejoice in this. Because your names are registered or written in heaven. Now that's what you ought to rejoice about. To know that your name is written, your name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice over that. To know that you will spend eternity with God, everlasting life. Now, the Bible talks about three heavens. Not four, not five, not eight, three heavens. The Bible talks about three heavens. So whenever I tell you, no, there's six of them. No, there's three in the Bible. Let's read a scripture first. Go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, the New Living Translation. The reason I'm reading the New Living Translation, because I want you to understand it clearly. But you can read it out of the New King James Version. It's the same thing. It's just that the New Living Translation breaks it down more simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. So here we have the Apostle Paul. How many know Paul was a man of God? And Paul was a man of God, but he had his struggles. He was persecuted. He had been in prison. He had been stoned with rocks. He many times almost killed, his life taken away. He wrote a lot of the New Testament letters or epistles, better yet to say. But at the same time, also, God will reveal to him many things. And look what he says. He says in verse 1, "This boasting will do no good. But I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. So what he's saying is that, you know what, I don't want to be boasting, or he had, because of the revelation, the vision that the Lord had given him. But he says this, I was caught up, what does it say? I was caught up to what? The third heaven. So that means there's one heaven, there's a second heaven, and there's a third heaven. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. And then he says, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I don't know. That I was caught up to paradise and heard things so outstanding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. The reason I read that passage, because it tells us that Paul went up to the what? Third heaven. So what is the first heaven? The first heaven, according to the Bible, is the atmosphere. It's like if we go outside right now, you're going to see the atmosphere of the first heaven that is above us. That's where you see the birds flying in the air and you see the clouds. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is what the Bible talks about, the stellar heaven. That's when you see the moon, you see the sun, you see the stars that are, they are all carried by the Creator God. But the third heaven talks about this. The third heaven is the abode or the place of God and of Christ, high above the first and second heaven. The third heaven is what the Bible talks about, where Christ is seated in the place of honor. Amen? You know how the Bible says that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated where? At the place of honor, the third heaven. Are you guys with me? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Look what he says, a New Living Translation. Now Christ has gone where to? It says, to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to who? To God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his what? His authority. So now you know that there is three heavens, but the third one is the one where God dwells. And the Son is seated next to him, where the angels are present. So what's the big deal, you might be saying, about the third heaven? Well, we're going to see in the Bible that when a believer in Christ dies in the Lord, that's where you and I, or some have gone already, the third heaven. You're not chilling in a cloud. You're in the presence with the Lord. Any believer in Christ. So you might be saying, because people always get confused about this, but how does this work then? What happens? See, when a believer dies in Christ, the body, or what the Bible calls the tent, your body goes back where? To earth, where it belongs. Just in case if you didn't know that. That's why when we have a funeral, and let me put it this way, that's why we have the advantage as believers in Christ. That's why we have hope. We're not sad. We're not worried. We have hope because we know that at one time they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the hope that we have is that one day by faith, we will see them again. Now, that's why you'll see people many times. Now, not to say, of course, as humans, we lose a loved one. Of course, it's normal that you might have those feelings. You know, you lost a relative or your father, your mother, your son or daughter. I understand that's normal. But at the same time, in your spirit, you have peace and you have joy because you know that one day you will see them again. In the flesh, obviously, you're going to be sad, maybe hurt. It all depends on your relationship with the person also. But what I'm saying this morning is that when a person dies in Christ, your spirit goes where? To the third heaven. Your spirit. But your body goes back to earth, where it belongs. I'm not done yet, because I know you're thinking about a thousand things right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Look what Paul says. That's why he says this. The New King James Version says this. We are confident. See, when you have Christ, you are what? Confident. He says, we are confident, yes, well pleased. And he says, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when believers, once again, in Christ, die in their physical bodies, they are buried. But your spirit, why the spirit? Because remember when you came to Christ, in other words, before you came to Christ, the Bible says that you were dead in your sins. But when Christ came into your life, your spirit was revived, or your spirit was renewed, which means that now the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. And that's the reason why that now he's the one that does the work in us. The Spirit of the Lord, when you become a new creation in Christ, that's why in your spirit, the Holy Spirit will convict you. He will stir you up to seek more of the things of God, to live for Jesus. Why? Because Christ lives in us. So when you die, your spirit goes to the Father. Now get this. I wasn't going to read it, but I am going to read it. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 4, hallelujah, verse 13. This is, see, like a message like this, it's very important to have some type of knowledge about it. Because many times people will ask, and we don't know what to say. What's, you know, one of the, well, I think so. They ask you, if you die right now, will you go with the Lord? Well, I believe so. Or I feel I am. But how many know it's not about what you feel? It's not about what you think. You got to be 100% sure and say, yes, I know because Christ lives in me, I will be with the Lord for eternity. Look what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. What does he say, Paul? But I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died, lest you sorrow. See, look what he says right there. There it is. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, people that do not have hope will sorrow. It's in the word of God. But look what he says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. But now notice what he says. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Did you know that? That when Christ comes back, if we haven't died or we have died in the Lord, the dead in Christ, they will rise first. They get the first ride. But notice what he says. Then we who are alive, if we're still alive, and remain, shall be caught up together. See, we're going to be caught up together with those who have died in Christ, but they get the first ride first. But look what he says. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. We're going to meet the Lord. The dead in Christ and those who are alive, we will meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And we will go to heaven with them back. And it says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then at the end, look what he says. This is powerful. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Because let me tell you something. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and he's your Lord and Savior, that brings comfort. When you know that your loved ones have Jesus Christ in their life, that brings comfort. There's hope, church, in Jesus. That's why, you know, the Lord has put in me that, you know, we can't waste time anymore. We got to tell everybody about Jesus. Don't worry about if they reject, receive, or not, whatever. Your part is to tell them. It's to announce. It's to love on people. It's to tell people that there is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. And that God can forgive them of their sins. And it doesn't matter if it's a small, big sin. You know, there's nothing that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive. There's nothing that Christ cannot restore. There's nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring back to life. So the third heaven is our first destination. But as we go on, but it's not the final destination. The first heaven is temporary. Did you know that? The current heaven will become the old heaven, according to Revelation chapter 21. That's why, listen, church, I'm going to be done right now. Give me 5 more minutes. How important is that you have Jesus Christ in your life, church? Because if you reject Jesus as the source of life, the Savior, the Bible talks about eternal condemnation. And the Bible talks about that one day those who rejected Jesus Christ, they will stand, hear me, church, at the white throne judgment of Christ. See, it's not going to be like many believe. It's going to be one judgment for believers. No, it's two separate judgments. The first judgment is the what we call the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. That's where all the believers in Jesus, hear me, only believers in Jesus Christ will stand at that judgment seat. And that judgment seat for believers in Christ is not, it's not going to be a judgment for your sins. See, many don't know that. You're not going to be judged. I'm talking about believers. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. That's not going to be a judgment where God is going to judge you for your sins. No. Because he already judged our sins when Christ went to the cross. Your sins were judged there already. Now, the white throne judgment seat of Christ, that is directly for those who have rejected Jesus. They didn't want nothing about Jesus. They rejected him. They never received him as their Lord and Savior. They would tell them about Jesus. They would preach to them about Jesus. They would tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, that he died for them on the cross of Calvary, that he gave his life for them, that he shed his blood, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But they rejected him. Those will stand at the judgment seat, the white throne. The white throne, why? Because God is pure and holy. And when is that final judgment? That final judgment that I'm talking about, the white throne judgment, is after the millennium, what the Bible talks about, the 1,000-year reign in the book of Revelations. And Isaiah, but see, if you have Christ, you don't have to fear that. You don't have to worry about that. Now, if you're playing church or you don't want nothing about Jesus, now that's a whole different topic story in your life. Oh, don't stay quiet on me. But see, Christ, that's why the Bible talks about, everywhere in the Bible you will read, all God wants is that you trust him, you have faith in him, you walk with him, you believe his word, and God takes care of the rest. The only thing I could come up that I know of, speaking of my own personal life, is that when you're far away from God and you're not walking with God, or you don't believe God, or you don't do the word of God. But we already read in the Bible that God loves people. God loves sinners. And God gives the opportunity. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can believe in him. So that you will not be condemned. But people rather have the world. People rather, you know, do their own thing. People rather be selfish. They want to live their own life. They don't want to follow orders from the captain, Jesus Christ. They don't want to submit. They want to do their own thing. And many times, you know, the enemy, he's a liar and he tells you, no, you know, just go to church, you know, just don't cuss anymore and, you know, you're good. The stronger you get with the Lord, church, the more you seek him, the more you fall in love with him, the more you walk with him, the closer you get with him, the more the Spirit of the Lord will begin to talk to you. He will begin to, you know, speak to your heart to let go of certain things. And if you say, you know, it's because I can't let go. No, that's a lie. Because the Bible says that Christ's power empowers you to overcome any temptation, any struggle, anything you're facing. The power of Christ will empower you, will give you grace to overcome. Church, there is no excuse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No, that's why Jesus says, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Jesus basically said this. If you follow me, you serve me, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. He says, even the birds of the air, you who are more of value. If I can take care of birds, you don't think I can take care of you? But you just gotta surrender it all to the Lord, church. You just gotta say, Lord, here I am. I'm gonna seek your kingdom first, like it says in your Bible, and everything else shall be added on to you. But you gotta seek God first, church. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Invest in your relationship with God and invest in the kingdom of God. And watch what the Lord will begin to do. Please stand. I did not finish, but we're going to stop right here. We will continue.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.